With regard to certain legislative priorities, so Raise the Wage Act introduced in January would, as we talked about, increase the federal minimum wage from $7.25 to $15 an hour over a five-year span and gradually eliminate tipped minimum wage. Then there's the Equality Act, which passed the House in February, expanding Title VII and other civil rights laws by adding in sexual orientation and gender identity as protected classes in a number of federal statutes, and then consistent with the Supreme Court's Bostock decision. And then the Paycheck Fairness Act, which is not a new act to any of us. It's been introduced under a number of administrations. It's again been introduced in January. It would amend the Equal Pay Act. Employers would have tougher standards for pay discrimination and unlimited compensatory and punitive damages under that act. And on the paid leave front at the federal level, there is the Family and Medical Insurance Leave Act, or FAMLI Act, which would permit workers to take up to 60 days of paid time to care for themselves or a family member. And that would be funded through a trust fund, which both the employer and the employee would be taxed at 0.2% of wages to be paid into that fund. And then also there's the Advancing Support for Working Families Act, which would allow parents the option to receive $5,000 in advance on the child tax credit after the birth or adoption of a child. And the annual child tax credit would go from $2,000 to $1,500 over the next 10 years to offset some of that $5,000 advance under this act. And then finally, what we see from Congress is anti-arbitration priorities. There are three acts listed on this slide that would seek to sort of put holes in the ability to arbitrate. Forced Arbitration and Justice Repeal Act would invalidate pre-dispute agreements to arbitrate employment claims, among others. Restoring Justice for Workers Act, prohibiting mandatory pre-dispute arbitration and employment. And then the Ending Forced Arbitration of Sexual Harassment Act, which would prohibit mandatory pre-dispute arbitration of sex discrimination claims in particular. On to the Department of Labor. Again, lots of developments with the DOL, including leadership and a number of adjustments relating to wage and hour issues. In fact, yesterday, the Trump-era independent contractor rule was repealed by the DOL. You'll hear much more about these developments in a presentation later this morning, but lots going on within the Wage and Hour Division of the Department of Labor in terms of the priorities and the rules that were in place, and those very likely getting repealed or eroded. The OFCCP has new leadership, not surprisingly. Jenny Yang assumed the role of OFCCP director on January 20th, so it's a new day with regard to that office's agenda. Also on January 20th, as part of an executive order, the number on that is 13985, President Biden revoked the executive order that's listed here, 13950, which had been signed by then President Trump, which prohibited federal contractors and some contractors from providing certain workplace diversity training and programs. So this new executive order from President Biden affirmed that equal opportunity, quote, is the bedrock of American democracy, and our diversity is in one of our country's greatest strengths. So in Executive Order 13985, it follows essentially a preliminary injunction by a Northern District Court that in California that prohibited the OFCCP from implementing or enforcing President Trump's executive order in any manner. And consistent with that injunction, the executive order from President Biden takes initial and additional actions to ensure a lack of compliance with that prior order. Then also, as we mentioned on April 27th, just a few days ago, President Biden issued that executive order effective January next year, mandating that certain federal contractors pay $15 minimum wage to those workers who work on federal contracts. On to the EEOC. The EEOC's five-member commission is presently comprised of two Democratic commissioners and three Republicans. The president designated Democratic Commissioner Charlotte Burroughs to chair the agency and the other Democratic member, Jocelyn Samuels, as the vice chair. But the ability for that commission to advance Democratic priorities is hampered by the three Republican members, which are the current majority, and that's expected to remain in place until mid to late 2022. Notably, in the final days of the Trump administration, because you'll see also that there is an acting general counsel in place after the prior general counsel was removed when she did not resign, the commission had actually adopted changes to the delegation of litigation authority that the general counsel had.